In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Ready to feud today?
Obviously.
Obviously.
Da doi.
A don. A donk a donk.
What?
Do.
What?
I don't know, I got carried away.
Clearly, man.
Before I go on, why don't you explain to the good folk what we're doing here?
Gladly. So we take a movie from the IMDb Top 250 list, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against.
Pretty simple. I'm pretty pumped for today's feud because we are about to feud a new entrant to the IMDb Top 250, a homegrown entrant, a desi entrant.
That's right. The movie we're feuding this week is Andhadhun.
Or Andhadhun, as most people looking at the list will call it.
Andhadhun, man. I have actually not seen this movie. Have you seen this movie?
I actually have not either, and I have heard a lot of hype about it. It is thankfully on Netflix. I was going to buy the Blu-ray, but you know, I just go to Blu-rayBay.com and just stream it from there. But my point is I'm going to watch it legally, which I always do.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty pumped because I've heard a lot of hype. Just want to check out what the fuss is about.
Same, man. I'm actually pretty excited. I haven't seen a Bollywood movie in the recent past generate the sort of hype that this one has done. Mm-hmm. It's always been like, oh, it's smashed the box office and oh my God, this, that. But this movie is very... It feels like it's a good movie. I just want to say that.
Oh, laying some cards out on the table. I like it, Vikram. It's a new avatar for you. And I do mean avatar, like the IMDb Top 250 movie.
Oh, not Avatar?
Not Avatar.
Okay.
Should we get to it? Let's do the coin toss.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I'll be tossing the coin. And if it comes heads, I argue for. And tails, I argue against. Good luck to me.
Toss away.
And it's tails.
And Vidur, how do you feel about that?
Well, good thing I haven't seen the movie. I don't have an opinion to share. Fresh eyes, look through the hype.
Okay, I'm just really excited to go watch this movie, man. And yeah, let's just see how that goes.
All right, let's do it. But before we do, a shout out to our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Flow Mattress. What is Flow Mattress? It's the promise of the deepest sleep of your life.
They have a unique 100-night trial policy. So you can actually sleep on the mattress for 100 nights. And if you're not sleeping substantially better, then you can send it back for a full refund, no questions asked.
And because the mattresses are shipped directly from the factory to you without any middlemen, they are 50% cheaper compared to traditional brands. They start from only $9,989.
Log on to flowmattress.com to find out more about this disruptive offering. That's flomattress.com. FilmFeud listeners get an exclusive 10% discount when they use the code FilmFeud on their purchase. With that, let's go watch the movie.
Let's go watch the movie. That was the biggest drop between a trailer and a movie.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Why is this movie so hyped, Vikram? Just tell me. Just tell me in one sentence why is it so hyped.
Not even sentence, dude. It's like three words because it's magnificent.
Magnificent.
It's so good.
Wunderbar.
This movie is universal. Do you realize that?
No.
It's very rare for a Bollywood movie to be universal. This movie would be appreciated as much as it has been in Bollywood, as it would be in Hollywood or Europe or anywhere. Anyone who sees this movie would like it equally.
This movie is barely Puneversal.
Puneversal?
It's set in Pune, right? It's barely good in Pune.
Ugh. It's a world-class movie, man. You know what? I know you're going to hate me on this, but it feels like a Coen Brothers movie, and that's high praise, dude.
Exactly. It feels like the worst Coen Brothers homage ever made.
Come on, dude.
And there's a rabbit at the start of the movie, and that rabbit actually plays out and creates this like Coen Brothers-esque, Pulp Fiction-esque coincidence that plays into the ending of the movie. This is great direction. This is Raghavan's best work.
Forget Raghavan's best work. I haven't seen all his works. I've just seen another movie. But I'm saying there are very few filmmakers, Indian or not, right, who can create such an experience on screen where you're equally shocked and amused. And to bring it all in one package is pure talent. And it's very evidently seen in this movie.
No, it's not. I was actually able to predict half the things that happened. And the ones I weren't were like jump scares And the ending was predictably, oh, you know, whatever you want to interpret it, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
You could predict the movie as it happened.
Pretty much.
You could predict that when he walked into her house to give a solo concert, there was a dead body of the dude lying there.
No, but that's the premise. My point is, this is like a bad Woody Allen movie.
Woody Allen movie?
Woody Allen did it better in like all the movies he made about crimes. Firstly, talking about did it better, we already discussed, Raghavan himself did it better. His previous movies are better. Obviously, like, if you want to go to the liver-kidney angle that the second half is all about, Ship of Theseus did it better. A movie you're too much of a pleb to have seen, I already know. Have you seen Ship of Theseus, Vikram?
Personal information. Huh? You're setting yourself up for some really bad feuds in the future.
In the future, but for now, one of the best outputs of Indian cinema you haven't seen also happens to be Organs. Obviously, every Coen Brothers movie, I mean, this is probably close to like a Fargo or something. I don't know, like high-premised Fargo. Then Woody Allen, man. All of Woody, have you seen Crimes and Misdemeanors?
I hate Woody Allen, just to put it out there. I don't understand the hype he has.
These are exactly the kind of premises he does. You know, bad people getting away with bad things. I, in fact, came up with what this movie should have been called, since it's so close to bad Woody Allen movies. My suggestion? Blind and Misdemeanors.
What are you talking about?
Wait, I have more. Blind Jasmine.
Wizard, we don't have that much time.
Midnight in Pune.
Oh, God.
Wait, here's the best one.
Are you laughing at it?
I am. In advance.
Okay, I can't wait.
Vicky Donor, Christina Barcelona.
You should just use that one.
I had to build to the good stuff, man.
I was great. Vicky Donor, Barcelona, Christina. That's good, man. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I could predict most of the things the way you can in Woody Allen movies. So that's just sad. That's a sad situation.
That's a sad outlook to this movie, man. You're forcing yourself to just take this route, which is obviously not true. This is a fantastic movie. Let's just talk about the movie.
Why don't we talk about the characters?
Yeah, let's do that.
Three key players. Agreed?
Yes.
Nope, you're wrong. One of them is absolutely unnecessary and not key. Why is Radhika Apte in this movie? I'm starting to find her insufferable, man. As soon as I knew this movie is going to be on Netflix, I knew Radhika Apte would be in it. Even though this is not a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Because it was on Netflix.
Yeah, that was a little saturation in terms of Radhika Apte plus Netflix, Sacred Games and Ghoul and all. But I think...
She's overrated.
I think she's the... Well, she's technically not the find of 2018 because she's done a bunch of stuff before this, Badlapur being one, but...
She did Parched, which was like a hardcore indie. I mean...
Yeah, she's been there. She's actually... She has a good, decent body of work. But I loved Radhika Apte's output in 2018. I think now she is the find because she's become mainstream. A lot of people know about her. I think she's tremendous.
She's firstly wholly unnecessary. Her character is this weird POV character that switches and doesn't become POV because why would it be? Because she's barely in the movie anymore. Totally dumb decision to have a character that's so central to the first act and disappears and doesn't play a role beyond the first and third act.
But her role in the first act is to sort of chip away at Ayushman Khurana's character. They use Radhika Apte to show this side of Ayushman Khurana, which would otherwise not be seen in the movie. So I think she does a tremendous job with that, their chemistry, their sort of interactions.
As a POV character, right?
Yeah.
But then the POV switches to Ayushman after that, the main...
No, POVs... Ayushman also has a POV throughout all of that.
That's my point. They shouldn't keep switching. I didn't enjoy that at all. And then her acting was like... So blasé. Am I using that right? Just blah. Just whatever. So you're just...
I can't think of any actress who could have done what Radhika Apte did with her character.
She also slaps a kid, man. That's assault. This is 2018.
So?
She slaps a kid.
It's a movie. Things happen. They try to show real things in movies. Like, people slap kids sometimes. Especially kids who are prying into their private life.
Yeah. Very real things they show in this movie. You know how you just blind people by looking it up on YouTube and they're instantly blinded? You know how that happens? How real?
People make bombs off of YouTube. I mean, this is
different. How? Which brings me to Tabu's character.
Oh my God, Tabu, I'm so f***ing impressed with her, dude. What an actress. What an actress.
Do you know she's even been getting a lot of love for that one line she talks about where she's cooking that crab or lobster and she's like, oh, it's an aphrodisiac.
Oh, when her husband's video.
Yeah. Matlab mat puchna, lekin main spelling mat puchna, main matlab bata dungi. It's like, what? This is so unnatural. Their whole relationship is unnatural. Tabu and that role is unnatural.
Tabu and her husband's relationship?
Yeah.
Is meant to be unnatural. I think they showed it in a very good way. They sort of allude to why... The events of the movie happened because the relationship was unnatural.
That's what you got from it? I just thought it was bad acting.
I think it was brilliant acting. I think this was one of the first movies of Tabu that I'd seen which wasn't focused on prep and how she executes the character and was more natural. So I really loved her character, man. And also how she's like cold-blooded AF in this flick, huh? Like, amazing.
Yeah, but out of nowhere. It's not like established. I mean, when the Coen brothers do it in like a Fargo or something, you sense something's wrong. In this case, one moment she's a cheater, okay? The next moment she's a killer. The moment after that, she's happy to dispose of the body in a suitcase. Oh, but she's feeling bad that her like boyfriend, whatever, lover, breaks the finger. And then slowly and slowly, she just becomes diabolical. Like,
that's brilliant.
But she actually says, I'm not a serial killer, after she's blinded someone because she didn't want to kill him.
Right. I mean, that's people, there are very few people who would be like, I'm a serial killer, I'm killing people, right? They would just like to think of themselves as not being there. And secondly, she's shown as a cheater as well as a murderer in the same scene, which you're obviously going to talk about the sequence. I think the pacing of this movie was brilliant, right? From the start to the finish, like the way it ramps up was very methodical, very organized. Like even his reveal that he wasn't blind doesn't come at the beginning. And it's at the perfect point in this movie. Like,
perfect. It comes 12 minutes in, yeah. I counted. And it's the only moment for the first 12 minutes of running time when the movie becomes slightly interesting. You have to sit through 12 minutes of jack shit. For instance, the
taboo... It's character building. They're introducing each character. They're introducing Radhika Apte. They're introducing Ayushman Khurana, where he lives, what he does. Obviously, they'll take 12 minutes to do that.
Too slow, bad pace.
It'll become rushed if it becomes sooner. And you know the whole why he was putting up a show, Taboo's arc interlacing with his, I think it was really well done in terms of the pacing of this movie. Very few Bollywood movies actually do it. They just front load whatever they're supposed to front load so that you get to the meat or the action or anything. This was actually very thought through.
They show Taboo for 2 minutes and then just don't for another 15 minutes. That's good pacing. That's good editing. That's bad. This movie needed
why?
Better
just because
editor.
It's Taboo doesn't necessarily mean that she has to be in the movie at every sequential frame.
She's a key character that you don't keep up with. You just show that husband dynamic and then they disappear for 15 minutes. That is not a good way to
work. No, I actually disagree because they show Taboo's character in terms of just her interaction with her husband and to put a sense in the viewer's mind that her and her husband enjoy a relationship, a fruitful, positive relationship. And the next time it's shown is such a scare. It actually just like it's so scary to watch what the relationship has come to. So I think in that terms it was perfect pacing, perfect timing of showing characters and not showing characters.
Did you actually just describe a relationship as fruitful
in
between
the movie,
a husband and wife?
In the movie, yeah. It's a fruitful relationship. They're riffing off each other in the movie. So you get this sense that okay, it's a nice relationship. They're happy with each other. Boom, they're not.
Why boom? Wow, boom, yeah. He's dead. While we're talking about her husband, can we just talk about this Anil Dhawan playing an actor who looks back at old movies of
he
himself?
He looks like a 70s character, man. It's perfect.
And his name is something else. They should have just called him Anil Dhawan firstly. It would have been more hilarious. But to cast him is just so over the top. It takes you out of the reality.
What would you him rather be?
No, if they want to go with this, like adding a sense of reality by having an actor look back at very believable because they were real 70s footage of himself, call him Anil Dhawan. Why call him something else?
How does that matter? I fail to see the point.
Because then it makes me break my suspension of disbelief.
Okay, so I don't know much about not so well-known Hindi movies from the 70s, right? So I was actually thinking that this guy was a real actor. That's what his actual name is. I had to Google it after the movie. So in my mind, it was the same effect anyway.
Yeah, because you're clueless.
You actually knew who Anil Dhawan was?
Yeah.
The actor?
Yeah, just because
look in my eyes, Sudhir, and tell me you knew who Anil Dhawan the actor was.
I knew that that wasn't his real name. Okay, which is enough to break the suspension of disbelief.
Okay.
I just think it was a weird move. But let's just stay on Taboo. Since we're talking about the husband, how is she not a suspect? And also,
because
of
her inspector boyfriend.
Manish Vij played the exact same character in a Netflix movie called whatever.
Okay, that helps.
The exact same character.
I haven't seen that character.
This is his one mode, but I have, right? And that's why it was ultra boring.
It's the same thing with like a Pankaj Tripathi, man. Like they play the same sort of...
How?
They'll
stare you.
They'll play the same type of role.
Pankaj Tripathi is like one of the best talents we have.
Exactly.
This is just a guy who
That's what I'm trying to say. Just because he's playing a role in the same vein doesn't mean he's not doing an equally good job or a better job.
No. It is exactly that because this is not a performance. This is just his one mode that is being harnessed for this role.
All right, so maybe he doesn't have that much depth as an actor, but he...
Range. He has no range.
He has no range, but he's being able to portray this character really well. So I think he did a tremendous job.
So Taboo's not a suspect. She throws a granny off the 20th floor, still not a suspect, after the police officer was told by the granny that Taboo is a suspect. this is the believable film that I'm supposed to be watching.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? You've been in India long enough to see how police cases work out.
Oh, here we go.
If the head of that investigation is involved with Tabu to the extent that he's involved with Tabu in the film, obviously, I don't not believe that. In fact, it's actually very realistic.
Dude, the only acting I'll grant in terms of realistic and relationship is Manish Vijay's, the police inspector's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she did a great job.
Agreed.
I wish there were more of her in the movie.
Oh.
What?
No, I think it was the perfect amount because the character didn't have anything to add more than that to the story. So.
But she did such a good job. That is believable. Manish Vijay was actually detracting from the realism of the movie and she was adding to it.
That's great. I feel like even though she did a tremendous job, because her role should not have been extended just because she's a great actress, that makes no sense, obviously. If she would have had more screen time just for the sake of a good actor being on the screen, it actually would have taken away from the movie. So it was perfectly balanced in that situation. Can we talk about Ayushmann Khurrana, by the way?
Yeah.
Mr. Akash.
Good old Vicky Donner.
Was that
his name? I forgot his name already. I forgot his character name.
Akash, I just said it.
Okay.
Are you purposely deaf right now?
I'm just pointing out how his name in the movie was not memorable.
Oh, forgettable. Oh my God.
He's Vicky Donner, bro.
Vicky Donner killed it, by the way, in this movie. Vicky Donner killed it in 2018. Can we just give him a good shout out?
Okay, shout out.
Guy deserves it.
Shout out for killing it, except for in this movie.
So basically,
He didn't need much in this movie.
He didn't need... He's playing a guy pretending to be blind. Do you realize how hard that is to portray?
You know, I heard that he actually went through a lot of like effort and training for that. I guess... Okay, sometimes, you know, the better you are at something, the easier it looks. And sometimes things are just easy. Now, I don't know which of the two it is.
Okay,
I lean towards
just,
easy.
Let's just forget about what we know he did or just everything about acting or anything. You and me just talking right now. Do you think to act as a guy who's pretending to be blind and pull it off in a manner that seems believable is hard or easy?
Govinda did it in...
I'm just asking you. Hard or easy? Let's not get Govinda into this.
Govinda did it in Haseena Maan Jayegi.
Do you think that was believable?
It was a breeze.
Do you think it was believable?
It was a breeze.
I don't think he did a believable job. I think that's a key question.
It was entertaining. That's what's most important.
No,
was it entertaining?
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, and I think he did it in a very believable manner. I think he pulls it off really well, which is... I mean, kudos to him. You can't not give him a knock for that, dude.
What do you want? A Filmfare Award for him? Jeez.
No, I want I don't know.
A pat on the head.
I want something positive from you. That's all I want.
Okay, apparently he played the piano himself.
Okay, respect. That's great.
Except, why did they shoot it like a 70s movie where the person is obviously not playing the piano themselves? They just keep cutting between his hands and his face like it's a 70s movie.
Right.
If he's playing it, show him playing it. They actually don't.
I think they do in a couple of scenes.
At like the bar, but they're barely
at the bar, at his home. There's this one scene in the good sequence that we're going to talk about, which is at their house. There's a camera cut, which is directly without any cuts, is moving from the piano to his face.
Only once. Isn't it weird that
thrice
it's happening
that
only
I
once?
Mentioned.
Oh, no, but I mean that camera cut, they should just have white shots. It looked like Nasruddin Shah from Mora when he used to play the piano.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Nasruddin Shah was in Mora?
How dare you?
Okay,
we
I'm
have
sorry.
To feud Mora.
Okay. You have to be against, though.
No, the coin will know which way I am. But Nasruddin Shah and Mora plays the piano. It always keeps cutting.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it should be more La La Landish, right?
Exactly.
That's what you're getting to?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a different movie in terms of what it was trying to show. It was trying to show... The focus was on him being a pianist through and through. Whereas here, it's
being
obviously...
A what?
Pianist.
Oh.
And you thought? Just out of curiosity?
You know what I thought?
No, no, no.
You know what I thought?
No, I have no idea.
Of course you do. A thick, fat pianist.
Oh, God. And in this movie, although the foundation of this movie is that he's a musician, but the story doesn't develop in that way. So I don't mind the non-focus on his piano skills here.
Did you watch the end credits?
I did.
It's just... movies from the 70s or 60s or 50s or wherever.
Actors playing the piano.
And it's just
Bollywood
actors
movies.
Playing the piano.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he looked like. Yeah. So maybe it was an on-purpose homage.
Sure.
But speaking of the credits, they literally pulled YouTube videos and added them onto the credits.
That's great.
Dude, some of them have watermarks. Some of them say Shimaru Niche. Some of them say like tips or
I think that's on purpose.
No, I think they just use the footage like fair use, like a YouTuber.
I think that's on purpose, man. Because they try to show the whole Shimaru and like all of these old sort of...
You can't just do that on
of course you can.
Movie. That's
if,
so
if they couldn't, it wouldn't have been done. You
no.
think he didn't go through a process of permissions
you
and
think
stuff?
He did? It's India, bro. It's
100%.
It's the same thing you said.
I don't know why you're talking about this. Can we come back to Ayushmann Khurrana?
Yes.
Can you please... I'm getting pissed off that you're not acknowledging how good his performance was here.
His performance was fine. Serviceable.
Serviceable?
Yeah.
Jesus, dude. There's not much to talk about anymore about
Aishwarya. What about his character? What's he doing?
His character just wants to be a musician and he...
And so he pretends to be blind for the art.
Yeah. That's very clearly established in the movie, right?
And then, after he watches shit go down, then he goes again to see Tabu coincidentally kill the old lady. And then Tabu's doing it in front of the elevator, separate point. And then what? He says that I'm going to tutor his daughter and I'm going to like teach her how to play the... Like, why is he involved? The point at which he decides to run away is so far down the road from when he should.
No, so obviously the entire movie is about his conflict with what he believes he should be doing in terms of pursuing or becoming a better musician as opposed to what he's actually witnessed and his moral obligations to reveal those.
If they'd actually addressed that, and by the end of it, because of his experiences, he's a better musician, maybe that's all worthwhile. Otherwise, this is just a dumb premise.
I don't agree with that because when he finds out that she's murdered someone, all right, let's just jump to the sequence after this, but I just want to wrap up here. Once he finds out that a crime has been committed, his first instinct is to go to the police. So it's not like he's conflicted in terms of, oh, what I should be doing and this and that. It's
only when... That's so predictable, dude.
But only when he sees the inspector being involved in the investigation and he realizes that this is not something I can win, that's when he starts to pretend to just keep going with it. It's not like that's his first instinct.
That whole scene at the police station, actually the scene afterwards where he pretends to just freak out and tell everyone what is actually happening when he's being asked to sign a statement.
Oh, that was such a good cut.
Which is a dream sequence. Yeah. Come on, you didn't know that was a dream sequence.
I mean, it was there for a second, literally.
But still, like a lot of these like...
It's just a good sort of... engagement tool, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a filler tension building moment. That's weak. There need to be real tension building moment. I knew that was a freak out. I knew that was a dream sequence. That kills the moment for me. You know, but what about the part when he first goes to the police station? The guy, the Manish Vij police officer, is there. And then he makes up some cockamamie story. I saw like cat. A murder of his cat. And then the movie goes on as though that's believable. Like the police inspector immediately doesn't do anything about it. Actually...
He goes with him to his house to just make sure he's not actually blind or not.
Yeah, but isn't that enough to not believe him?
No.
Come on, man.
Why?
Come on.
It could be a coincidence.
Come on.
And obviously the policeman's hesitance to believe him shows that he doesn't believe him. And obviously his correspondence with Tabu shows that he doesn't believe him. All right, we've skipped it, all right? It makes no sense. You mentioned that this movie needs to have actual tension building moment. I think the whole sequence when he goes to her house is completely tension building. I think there are so many of those as opposed to the fillers that...
Let's talk about it. There's one of those. The sequence. The sequence where he witnesses a cover-up for a murder.
Hands down, the best and most beautifully shot Bollywood sequences I've ever seen in a Bollywood movie.
You know, I heard the hype for the sequence, and I have to say, from a technical perspective, it was really pissing off. I'm not like a film expert. I'm a film rambler.
You pretend to be. Yeah.
But it was not well done, man. I mean, the way they actually cut from his POV actually changes. Like, you can tell they had to do it over two takes and they couldn't set up the camera in the exact same way. That made me so sad. And then there are so many better ways to do the reveal than they do. Like, the way they're sitting, the way, like, the blocking of that scene, just the way the room is set up. It's so weird because they needed a wide shot, right, of the whole room and her doing stuff. It didn't work for me at all. They should have just kept it, like, non-gimmicky and it would have been fun.
I have no better expression than to say jaw-dropping, because the way everything comes together, including the music, the entire time he's playing the piano throughout the sequence, right? And the way they show his entrance, where Tabu's just hesitant in terms of, oh, mein hamein bataya nahi. Obviously, you don't get to know anything until they cut to the other side of the living room where they show Mr. Sinha's legs.
I was confused about what was going on there because he says he's going out on vacation and he's booked him. And so I was pretty confused leading up to that point. So,
which was on purpose, obviously, right?
Yeah,
to throw everyone off in terms of what the happenings of that sequence were. And then you turn around and then you don't even see Mr. Sinha's legs. You just see a pair of legs. And then Ayushman Khurana's expression and the way he sort of keeps his cool, but then not keeps... I think he did a tremendous job in the sequence, firstly.
Why does Tabu let him in? She asks him if he's completely blind only afterwards.
Yeah, but then it's indicated that he's blind.
What do you mean, yeah? Concede that at least. That's so dumb.
Why?
Why does she let him in?
Because Mrs. Saar starts listening in and she doesn't want anything to get out of that house in terms of information or anything
like
that.
Put yourself in her shoes.
Yeah, if my neighbor, my nosy neighbor, who I know is nosy, peers out and starts seeing who am I talking to, kisse baat ho rahi hai, turns out that Mrs. Saar has Am I saying that right? Mrs. Dissa has information that makes her suspicious. We find that out later in the movie. But if my nosy neighbor is peering in, I have this dude who I can see is blind.
You can just say, sorry, bro, no deal, go back, TTYL.
No, but the whole point is that he sticks around. He's like, oh, mere paise bhi ho gaye, oh, ye bhi tha, oh, ye bhi tha. It's not a matter of shooing him away. Shooing away would probably make Mrs. Dissa more suspicious. But that sequence, man, like him wanting to go to the bathroom, walking into the bathroom, seeing just random Manishwar standing there. Like,
that's a jump scare. One of many jump scares in this movie.
But the way they show jump scares in this movie is without the use of jump scare music or jump scare cutting or editing. It's just a simple pan of the camera to show there's a dude there behind him over his shoulder.
In this case, maybe they panned. I can't remember.
They didn't pan. So he starts to take a leak. Then they show just a camera behind his shoulder and Manishwar just standing there staring at him. So that means that as soon as he entered the bathroom, he knew that there was someone there. He saw it, but he kept his cool and kept it together.
Idiot. I understand that. Thanks. But it is a jump scare because it cut to a camera that reveals him. There's also a jump scare with the scream mask when Tabu is wearing the scream mask sitting in his kitchen. Those are jump scares, man.
But that actually made me laugh than making me scared.
Most jump scares make me laugh, but the point is it's put in for a scare. It's adding in like non-character, non-plot, like thriller tension. I just think that's weak. I mean, listen, it's okay. It still makes for a good movie if you have a couple of jump scares. But this movie is on the IMDb top 250.
Right.
This is an Indian output.
Just a few jump scares in a movie doesn't mean it can't be a critically lauded movie, man. Do you think like major movies in the IMDb top 250 don't have jump scares? I don't think jump scares is the issue here. I think just the whole sequence and how it's stitched together.
The point is a jump scare is a hack. That's the point.
Movies have jump scares.
No, they don't.
Of course, all thrillers have jump scares.
Wait. Let me quote you.
Give me a thriller which doesn't have a single jump scare. Tell me a thriller that doesn't have a single jump scare. That's impossible. Jump scares are part of it.
I bet no David Fincher movie has jump scares.
I bet they do.
No, they don't.
Okay, we'll
revisit. Seven has jump scares?
Probably.
No.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, challenge. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, that's after this feud. It's our homework for the day. But the sequence, man, and what I loved most about the sequence was obviously Ayushman Khurana's character, how he behaves, how Tabu's character behaves, how Manishwar's character behaves, and obviously the thing that's on top of all of this, which is the music, which is Ayushman Khurana playing the piano. When he sees them actually pulling the body, Manishwar, like them trying to figure out how to get rid of it, if you notice the piano, it goes so up-tempo, and he's basically channeling his emotions through his music, which I thought was very impressively done.
It's okay. If you go back and watch it again, which I'm sure you will, the blocking and tackling in that scene doesn't make sense. His POV keeps changing. And the one thing they did was that, oh, everything needs to be silent because obviously that's how they'll do it. And so the music takes over. Okay. But then they go into the room. It actually takes away from the more interesting part. To say that these things need to be silent and unsaid, that means that you're actually not seeing a fascinating part of how these two now murderers would have dealt with it.
But don't you think that how a sequence comes across in terms of when you're viewing it is the most important thing, as opposed to, oh my God, they missed, that was a bad cut there when you're rewatching it for the second or third time. It's when you're actually watching the movie and how you feel when that sequence unravels. That's the most important thing. And I think these guys, like, they achieved what they were trying to get to.
Yeah, but it's so hyped and you just said it's the best ever. So yeah, I mean, I did notice some weird technical and
sure,
just,
but I don't think those take away from the sequence.
It took away
at
from
all.
My experience, man. I'm a more sophisticated cinematic observer than you are.
And
not
humble,
my fault.
And humble. Of course. Humility is your key point here.
Modesty
is the best policy. All right, man. I think I said what I wanted to say about the sequence, and I feel like a lot of people would agree. For me, it's the music, man. And I feel like the music makes this movie. Amit Trivedi just...
I love Amit Trivedi, but he's wasted here.
Every time he does something, it's mind-blowing.
Name two songs from this movie.
That's below the belt, because you know I would know the names of them.
You should know one, which is the one they keep repeating.
Na 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 na.
Yeah, Naina the Kasoor.
Naina the Kasoor.
That's it. Name one more. You can't, because they're all so forgettable.
The one when he's sitting on the hospital bed, he's tossing a coin and he's plotting what his next steps are.
I have no idea what song you're talking about.
I think that's the title track. I think it's called Andhadhun.
I have no idea what you're talking about, which is my point.
Which is your point, not mine. That's what I'm saying. I remember the songs from this movie. You don't.
You couldn't even name the one.
Naming and remembering are different.
And the point is, Amit Trivedi usually comes out with gold. Here, he sang Naina the Kasoor, the most famous song. Okay, upbeat, cool. They use two songs back to back in a Bollywood movie. So lame, especially for an IMDb top 250 worthy movie, which usually tends to be songless, you know, more focused on like the actual like international cinema vibe. Ayushman Khurana has four different singing voices in this movie. And the worst part about it is Ayushmann Khurrana sings. I think he sang one of the songs in this movie.
Yeah, he did.
So he has a very distinct singing voice, which was cemented in his first movie, Vicky Donor, Pani Darang. So what am I supposed to do? Not, what is this, like 90s Bollywood? He just has four different voices.
This is current Bollywood. It's not like things have changed in Bollywood.
They have. You can't have four different singing voices for a person.
Come on, dude.
This is not a Shah Rukh Khan movie, dude.
Come on, dude. Is that a problem? How is that a no-go?
We're in Film Feud, not Film Feud Bollywood. This movie is in the IMDb top 250.
We've had... Okay, fine. The songs are a contention point here, but we've had heavier contention points in IMDb top 250 movies as well. And this movie is so focused on Ayushmann Khurrana, the musician, right? And Amit Trivedi playing the piano is pow five, dude. He's so bloody good. Everything he touches is gold, literally gold. I think the music throughout this movie, even generally the score, like, you know, the first act, second act, third act, when things are ramping up.
Cool. Are we done with your point now?
Dude, music throughout this movie, not just like first half or second half or third, first act or second act.
Are we done with your point now?
You know what the funny thing is? I know you know the lyrics to this song.
I don't. I just know Nena the Kasoor, the phrase.
I think the music throughout this movie is brilliant.
What the fuck? How many times do I have to sing before you shut up about the music?
Completely compliments the scene which we're seeing.
Are you done?
If you bring up some bullshit, then no. But
Wait. I will bring up some bullshit. The second half of this movie.
What do you mean?
Bullshit.
Bullshit?
Bullshit.
What do you mean? Elucidate.
The second half of this movie is a whole different movie, right? He's already been through everything. Then his revenge seeking is kind of just really lame. But before the revenge seeking, like the third act comes, it's the whole kidney sequence, the doctors, the two different characters that happen to be from early in the movie.
Yeah.
And Hindi forms this ragtag team of like revenge, like kidney stealer duo plus doctor. What is going on?
Dude, it's
they
it's
messed up.
Precision in terms of script writing and filmmaking to completely come up with something new that the viewer is not expecting. So I actually loved that this movie completely changed in terms of the direction.
Just be honest. Just let go of your...
I'm always
of
honest.
Your Film Feud coin. Like
I'm always honest.
Just take off your black sunglasses for a moment.
Yeah.
Just stop wearing your blind contacts for a moment.
Uh-huh.
And tell me, is it good screenwriting to introduce three new characters that become central to the plot after the second act?
If it doesn't seem forced, then yes, it's actually brilliant screenwriting.
After the second act.
It doesn't feel like, oh, who are these? Why are these guys here? What's happening? None of that
That's
happened.
That's exactly what it is.
No, none of that happened throughout the movie, man. As soon as new characters were introduced, you just like got swept away with that introduction. And
him getting blind is the second act low point. Agreed? That's like in script writing, that's like the point where the hero's all is lost moment, right? That's when you introduce three new characters. They just have characters willy-nilly, including Radhika Apte, one of the main ones, and the daughter of Tabu and all, just disappearing. And then the doctor ends up being one of them. So sad, man. The second half just confused me. If he'd kept up the momentum, like I believe he does in Badlapur and Johnny Gaddar, I haven't seen some of his other movies. I know Agent Vinod isn't that good. Would have been great. And that just ends up like standard revenge, whatever, saga. The only thing I liked about it is Tabu's akar just keeps increasing no matter what situation she's in. I'm just like, okay, I guess this is something new for an antagonist. And then that ending, man. It just comes to that ending.
Oh my God.
Predictable.
What an ending? Predictable.
Not predictable.
Not predictable.
Firstly,
not predictable because there's nothing that leads up to that being the ending, right? I've never seen so much hype. Never seen so much hype on the internet about a possible ending or the possible cause for an ending of a Bollywood movie. Have you ever seen that? Like, it's very Nolan-esque, right? Inception ke end mein lattu gira ya nahi gira? Pata nahi, bro.
That's exactly what this is, except it's not ambiguous because he's obviously not blind. He whacks off a can with his stick.
Right. Okay, so let's just stop here. What do you think is the reason for him not being blind?
I don't give two hoots.
Come on, just indulge
me
a little bit.
According to the movie, it's a rabbit.
Indulge me.
It's a rabbit.
According to the movie, it's actually nothing. It's very open-ended. There are contradictions and evidence for all sorts of hypothetical endings in the movie.
Listen to me, Vikram. Assume you're blind. And assume all you need to not be blind is money. Assume you're a smart person. 5 years from now, will you still be blind?
What? That makes no sense.
If money is the difference
No, let's use Ayushmann Khurrana's character as the point of reference, not Vikram.
Okay.
Ayushmann Khurrana's point of reference is that he is forcing himself to be partially blind or blind so that he can focus on his craft. That's always been the foundation of this movie. That never wavers in any part, any act or anything like that. He will, even if he has eyes, he will go back to being partially blind or Pretending to be blind.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. What he does and how he gets to that ending is not laid out clearly in the movie.
Yeah, so it's just not.
But what do you think the reason for him being not blind by the end of the movie is?
That he gathered the money to pay for it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it? So
you're asking me, did he sell out Tabu or not? Did Tabu actually die? Did he kill her?
Okay, so you're not nudging me. I'm just going to talk, okay? There are three most popular theories
out
there.
This is the worst part of Film Feud come to life. You're not indulging me, so I'm just going
to
talk.
Yeah, I need to, man. Like, I need to address this. It's really important. You should too. So there are three most popular theories out there in terms of why people think he's not blind.
Okay, let me guess.
Again,
briefly.
Again, alluding to how many people are talking about this online. This never happens with the Bollywood. This is game-changing. Do you realize that? It's amazing.
This is a green flag for you, that the fact that people are discussing this online.
Yeah.
Big whoop, man. People will discuss anything online.
I've never seen this with the Bollywood movie.
Yeah, but maybe you don't seek it out. Maybe there's like a whole thread about the ending of Three Idiots or the ending of... You know, like this.
I knew you'd say this. So I tried to do this with like mainstream Bollywood movies that are coming to my mind. Nothing.
We should start.
No. We should only do it when it's valid, which in this case is so valid.
Do you think Shah Rukh and Kajol actually got together at the end of TDLJ?
I'm not getting derailed with this.
I think we should start a Reddit thread, bro.
Yeah, we should. Or a Quora. Quora does better in India for some reason. But the three most popular endings. So you were saying you have a good idea what they could be?
Yeah. One is that he's blind. One is that he's not blind. And within the not blind, there's two, because one he killed Tabu and one he didn't.
Okay, so kind of right.
He's obviously not blind though.
He's obviously not blind. I agree with you. I want to agree with you, all right? It could have just been like, oh, kya na, samne usne good timing kar di. I don't believe that. Just saying. I haven't read anything substantial about that as well.
He just swung his stick and happened just, in a can.
Just good timing. I don't think that was the case. I haven't read anything credible online that anyone thought that was the case. So the first one is that a lot of people, like you just did, bring this correlation with the rabbit in place. You know, rabbit has one, they show that the rabbit's blind in one eye. And then they show this scene of him after he was poisoned by Tabu, dunking his head in a bucket of water. And then one eye seemed clear and one eye seemed foggy. So people are like, oh, he was blind by one eye the entire time.
That is really dumb.
And he pretended. I agree. Because that scene where Manish was just trying to kill him and he runs away, why would he run into a pole if he's half blind? And like, wake up, like put himself in that situation. So I don't agree with that. The second one is that when he meets Radhika Apte in the final scene.
And La La Land, by the way. They pull a La La Land.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The ending of La La Land, she's just walking and she sees like...
They don't pull a La La Land. That's what the story is building up to be. He wants to go to London. Like, she ends up meeting him in Europe. Shut up, man. So she's talking
to him. She's upgraded to a white dude.
That's racist. So she's sitting with him.
No, it's not. She's upgraded from Ayushman Khurrana, a random struggling artist.
Just your one statement, she's upgraded to a white dude. She's super racist.
The fact that she's upgraded, the dude happens to be white.
You're saying that upgrading from a brown guy to a white guy...
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying she's upgraded and the dude happens to be white.
No, you said she's upgraded to a white dude.
She's upgraded to a white dude. Because she was dating some like artist guy who was pretending to be
your friend,
blind.
As your friend. I come to think of you as a brother now, right? That's racist. Please don't say
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Okay, so his discussion, his talk about his reveal to Radhika Apte of
there
what
are
happened.
Worse white dudes than brown people.
Are you still on this?
Know.
Are you still on this? You shouldn't be. Brother, please stop. So Radhika Apte is talking to him in terms of or fear. And then he goes on to reveal that Tabu lets him out of the car, takes a U-turn, tries to kill him. Apparently, that was all made up. Everything up until that point wasn't. So the doctor and him actually ended up going to the Middle Eastern billionaire, get their money. He gets Tabu's eyes or whatever. That's one sequence. I don't believe that either. And the third most popular one, surprisingly, is that everyone is overthinking.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I don't think that's true either. You know what? One thing that's missed out is during this whole course of... When he finally convinces the doctor and those two people that they shouldn't sell his organs, and he says to the auntie that teri lottery lag gayi ab, that's when essentially his plan starts coming into action. They start showing that he's planning something, and then they end up kidnapping Tabu. What I think actually happened was that he mentions to Radhika Apte that with the help of a friend, he actually ended up coming to London and started his life again. But they leave it there in terms of no details or anything like that, right? I think Dani was that friend, Dani being Tabu's stepdaughter. She was the one who actually sympathized with him. And after finding out what Tabu actually did, she wanted to help him out. So she's the one who pulled all the money together, sent him to London, got his eye surgery done. And he obviously continued to pretend to be blind because of his earlier beliefs that it'll make him a better musician.
or that'll make him more money. I mean, who cares?
Who cares
who the friend was?
You don't?
No, but you're just saying that what he said actually happened and he's pretending to be blind. I don't know why the movie pretends otherwise, because as soon as I saw him again, I knew he'd be fooling. Only because you watch movies, right? So you know the ending of the movie needs a button, right? A punch. And so when they show him again, the most obvious button is that he's fooling again. And Radhika Apte is an idiot and actually believes it otherwise. I mean,
I think if the movie would have ended not with that final frame of him kicking away the can with a stick, I think the movie's effect and what you would think about the movie would have remained absolutely the same.
No
it was something
way.
That was added on top of it that just took it to the next level.
It's the most obvious thing to add, man. That's why it's predictable. And by the way, these theories you're highlighting, all of them are really boring, by the way, just so you know. Like, who cares? Because what Nolan does is he takes something that leads out to multiple options. Is the top spinning being the most obvious one, right? So if it's spinning, it means something else. And if it's not spinning, it means something else. What they're doing here is showing you the top falling and then leaving it open-ended as to how the top fell to fill in the blanks. Which one do you think is better?
No, I know what you're trying to say. I don't think the Inception ending compares here, because
they should have left it open-ended whether he's blind or not. That's what they didn't do.
I don't think so.
The can kicking is stupid. Think about it.
No, so if the movie progressed as is and that final shot wasn't there, right, they were just leaving it up to the assumption of the audience that Ayushmann Khurrana is still blind. Whatever he was by the end of that tabu sequence of the rabbit hitting her car, he is like that.
That would have been the easiest thing. They literally could have just shown him taking off his glasses and cut to black before they focused on his eyes being glazed over a plane. It's the most simplest thing. In fact, on this note, you know, I read this amazing way of fixing the ending of The Dark Knight Rises. You remember The Dark Knight Rises ending with Alfred sitting in the coffee shop in Italy and the two of them, Batman and Catwoman, are like saying hi to him? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine this. Alfred, you've seen the ending where Batman flies in the ocean, drops the bomb. Alfred goes, sits down, looks towards them, seeing that he's seen someone sitting
there. And they don't show them.
And it cuts to black.
Okay.
That's exactly what this ending needed. Instead, they've done The Dark Knight Rises. They've literally just shown him kick the can, and now you know, you have the solution.
But don't you think the ending's effect goes away if you don't establish whether he's still blind or is not blind?
Like, no,
if
you just,
there's no way to leave that open-ended, right?
Of course there is. You come up with something. You come up with him taking off his glasses. He looks in the mirror and you don't know what color his eyes are.
I don't think so, man. And
I'm a better filmmaker than Sriram Raghavan, is my point.
I know you don't believe that either. I'm just saying, for a Bollywood movie, dude, finally to make it big and mainstream, this made 111 crores at the box office. It's bloody brilliant. It gives me hope. It's like, I'm in Star Wars right now, all right? And we just found the Death Star plans. It gives me hope for Bollywood. There's no better indicator that Bollywood's going
in
the right direction.
I'm shaking my head. This is a podcast, so I must say this out loud.
Bollywood's going in the right direction if these sort of movies start becoming mainstream, is all I have to say.
I think you should go watch The Blind Side. And that's a better movie than another one. I think I've run out of blind movies.
You know, we started the transition music already, right? With it.
Okay. And that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Thank you for listening.
Hope you guys enjoyed. Now we feuded and you guys get to decide who you think won this week's feud.
Make sure you vote on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or our website. Let us know who you think won. Let us know what points you might have raised. Let us know what movie you want us to feud next.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, or if you're on Android, check us out on CastBox. See you guys next week.
See ya.